Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting installment of the Friday Filibuster, DVD Verdict's longest-running podcast. Mac, is that correct?
As far as I know, although I believe we're all technically under the banner of DVD Verdict Presents.
All right, so welcome to the Friday Filibuster, the latest installment in the longest-running podcast of DVD Verdict Presents, as far as Mac knows. That's about right? Okay.
There you go.
I'd like to think of this podcast as, any other podcast that the DVD Verdict may have had that was running, that started at the same time as this, that could run just as long, that, like in Speed Racer, you just popped out some spikes from the sides of the tires of this podcast and ran them off the mountain.
Totally. We need to get a little catchy subheader for the Friday Filibuster. We'll have to work on that, you know? The Friday Filibuster, you're home for blankety blank 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 or something, you know? Yeah, you're home for Pittsburgh news. speaking of Pittsburgh news, Mike Rubino, you've had a pretty exciting week or two, haven't you?
I have. Yeah, I have.
Why don't you share with the kids?
I don't want to brag or anything, but last Thursday I got to attend the Rush concert, as I spoke very briefly about last podcast. But little did I know that I would actually be able to meet 2/3 of the band before the concert.
Wow. Yeah. Now, how did you pull that off? How did that work out?
Just the master of all hookups through a friend of mine in the office was able to get me meet and greet passes from the local radio station. And sure enough, me and my brother and maybe about 30 other people with passes got to, quickly meet them, get your picture taken right before the concert started. Obviously, Neil Peart does not meet anybody. The drummer, he's a delicate genius, so he does not he does not want to come out and meet anybody. But Alex and Getty sure did, and it was a heck of a concert. It was it was one of the coolest and most well produced concerts I've ever seen. In fact, they had a giant movie screen behind them, and they recorded these like movies just for this tour, of them dressed up in costumes doing sort of like skits or something. But after the concert was over and after the encore, they had a 10-minute film with Jason Segel and Paul Rudd playing their characters from I Love You, Man.
Yes, yes.
Which I've not even seen that movie yet. But
that's a movie you would need to see now, I think.
I know. But they come on in the film right after the encore's over, and they're supposed to be like backstage crashing the green room of Rush, and then Rush comes in and they have like a standoff and everything. But it was pretty good, and I was pretty surprised that Paul Rudd and Jason Segel were down for something like that, because it was made just for this tour. So
now I'm going to ask you in the form of like boring work survey: did the concert A, fall short of your expectations, B, meet your expectations, or C, exceed your expectations?
It blew up my expectations and set them to different star systems.
Wow. So that would be choice W. Wow, impressive.
Choice W.
We'll get you to Z one of these days, I think. Wow, that's very nice. You must have been on cloud nine, as they say.
I was. And it was pretty amazing, I must say. And they're as tight as ever.
All right.
Yeah,
nice.
So it was a good time.
Anything else? Can you talk about your super secret project now?
I don't want to, talk too much about it, but I will say that I've had the honor of doing some design work, actually, for the new Penguins Arena. And so it is in and about the arena, specifically near parts of the arena that only Penguins might visit. So, I was pretty privileged to get that job. So, it's good timing too, because tonight is their first preseason game. Next week is the start of the season. So, or 2 weeks from now, rather, is the start of the season. So, it's very exciting. Very exciting.
Oh, so man, for you, it's been like two straight Make-A-Wish experiences.
It really has been.
It's like the Make-A-Wish Foundation just blessed you with two straight awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, like, what's the only thing left? Like, Van Damme went over to your house to hang out for an afternoon.
That would be it. Or if I get in my car in the morning and it transforms into like, and then it's like, let's go to work, and then it walks me to work.
That's probably pretty cool, though. All right. Nice. While we have here, that all sounds very entertaining, but any entertainment stuff? Did you catch any?
Yeah.
I guess this could be the Friday filibuster kickoff to the new fall season. So I don't know if you've seen any movies or seen any of the new TV series.
I did. I did watch two new TV series. I did watch Mike and Molly as promised. And
supporting the local talent, right?
Yeah, supporting Billy Gardell, the local guy, and he's really good in it. And so, I mean, most of the actors are. It is that sort of, it's weird to watch for me because I'm not used to shows with laugh tracks anymore. It's been a long time since I've seen like a modern show. Yeah, it's just weird to me. Like, I don't know. I'm used to all the comedies I watch now, like Louie and It's Always Sunny and things like that. They're in the off, you know, I'm just used to the stuff without the laugh track, but it's there. But the show is pretty smartly written. There is a little bit too many fat jokes in this first episode, but I think that they're gonna shake them off. And I also watched The Event, the first episode of The Event. And
okay, and what do you think?
That probably would be the only episode of The Event.
Oh, wow. Harsh, nice. Yeah. So, yeah. I did not see it. I just, I think the ad campaign actually pushed me away from the show. I just was not interested. I don't know. So, I guess I'll get spoilery. What was it that didn't quite float your boat?
Mac, did you happen to catch it?
I did not. No,
it felt very much like V in this sense, that everything is very clean. Like, the film style is not unique at all, and the characters are all very two-dimensional. Like, everything's rushing around so much that you don't even know. There aren't really any characters at this point in the show. There's just yelling or talking or walking fast. There aren't characters. And so, but it's almost like the editor was not, it's almost like the editor was carrying all these film reels, because they use those still, and he dropped them all out of order, and they thought that would be clever. So, like, and I guess other shows did this too, but it messes with chronology almost too much to the point where it was confusing in this first episode. Now, I don't know if the rest of them are going to be like that, but, you know, it would start out with, like, a plane crash is the very first thing you see. And then it's, like, 12 minutes earlier. Then it's, like, 14 weeks earlier. 2 minutes later. 12 hours earlier. Like, it jumps around to all these different characters in ridiculous situations. And I don't know. I just sat there thinking, I do not want to watch a show that is trying this hard and is not unique. So I just, I'm done with it.
You're trying to do a Christopher Nolan's shtick with the nonlinear storytelling.
Almost. It almost does feel like that if you compressed it into an hour and used like three times as many characters as Nolan would. But,
so do they actually hint at what the event is, or if the event happened, or is it all? Are they just referring to it?
They actually say the phrase "the event" at one point.
Okay,
referring to something that has happened, and at the end, I don't want to. Well, here's a spoiler alert.
Yeah, go for it.
Spoiler alert. I suspect that it's aliens, but I'm not certain because you know, at the end, like the plane is about to crash into the president. All right, President Martinez is standing on an island looking up at a plane that's hurtling towards him that another character is on, and then that plane gets zapped by a ray-type thing and disappears. And they go, and the girl says something like, they protected
us. That was eventful.
Yeah, something like, they protected us or something. Or, Mr. President, I didn't tell you everything. They're there or something. So I'm like, this is clearly aliens. And I don't care anymore. So, I'm sorry, NBC, but you know, I was tricked once.
Clearly aliens. Yeah. I mean, it's either aliens or angels.
It pretty much is. Aliens or angels. That's always the case. So I'm, I've abandoned V, and I'm not even getting trapped with the event at this time.
That's true. Oh, you have pitched V overboard, have you?
Yeah, V is done for.
Once the new starts, the temptation will be there.
I know.
Is it renewed?
Yeah. And the writers, like I saw an interview in, Entertainment Weekly or something, with the writers are saying essentially like, well, we know that the first season was kind of weird and didn't do a lot, but this season's going to be action-packed and we're going to explain all kinds of things right away. And I don't know. It just sort of, it struck me as, and I also watched like a brief minute of The Chase and it turned it off to me. All of these shows.
Really? Because that looked so boring to me.
None of these shows have style. Like, what is wrong with hour-long shows anymore? The ones that have style and the ones that have good directors behind them, the ones that have good
writers. Yeah, they're found on like cable, you know? If our pay cable or.
No, that's not the
FX, HBO, and you know.
Exactly. Yeah, and that rant does not count anything aside from the networks. But it's like, you know, I don't know. I sound like a broken record because I'm like, where's a show like The Unit that has a big time director and writer behind it? Where's a show like 24 where there's some big names behind it? And or you know, they don't make those kinds of shows anymore because they're too expensive and they're too risky.
And I know this sounds sexist, but I'll say it anyway. Like, when I looked at The Chase, and they showed all these awesome action sequences of the female federal marshal, like, just beating the crap out of these giant guys, you know? I mean, it's just like, you know, she's probably 90 pounds, you know? I mean, it's kind of like the high tension. You know, I think we've talked about high tension before. You know, it's like, I mean, it's just tough to swallow. And again, I guess I'll just have to embrace my chauvinism or something, but that just tears me right out of something, you know?
Yeah,
you
know, there I mean, is.
You can have strong female characters without having them defy the laws of physics. Okay. You know, just like punching a man in the face doesn't automatically equal strong female character, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like people go overboard with it. It's like ridiculous. Like, one of my favorites was, you guys ever see Urban Legend?
Oh, yeah.
With Rebecca Gayheart, yes. Remember that? And here's a spoiler alert. She was revealed to be the killer, you know? And she's got to be, like, 75 pounds with gold bars in her pockets. And she's just doing these unbelievably – she's, like, suspending football players from trees and hanging them, you know, just holding – I mean, unbelievable. So that's a quick question. But that's why The Chase just had nothing – I had no interest in it.
Yeah, I turned it off as soon as she was, like, in an alley or some sort of, like, sewer thing chasing a guy. And she came up behind him, and he said, and she started choking him with like a rope or something. And he was like, or she had a gun on him. That's right. And he said, "Didn't your mama ever tell you girls shouldn't play with guns?" And he, and then she like flips behind him and starts choking him. And then she like brings him down to the ground, and she goes, "My mother died when I was 8, so no, she didn't." And then she breaks his neck. And I'm like, "That is the
stop.
Worst.
What? Stop.
What is the worst?" That's
you just made that up.
No, I swear to God, that was the line. Like, what kind of one-liner is that?
And why, is she the federal marshal killing guys?
Yeah, she, like, broke his neck, or maybe he passed out.
Yeah,
I like to think she broke his neck.
Well, so what kind of federal marshal takes their gun off a suspect, you know, to try to choke him with a rope, just to say an awful line?
I don't even know. It was a bizarre scene, and I just was like, I'm done with this.
I would have liked them to say, you know, "Oh, gee, sorry, I didn't know, sorry." Pull back.
Yeah, I'm sorry about your mom.
Sensitivity.
Well, it goes without saying that the superior federal marshal show on TV is Justified from Surprise FX. So, you know, when that hits DVD relatively soon, please watch Justified, which is a better federal marshal show. All right. Well, anything else in the new TV landscape that you sampled?
That's all for me.
All right. How about you, Mac? Did you dip your toes into it?
Yes, I did. I guess now it's my turn to be Mr. Contrarian Guy, because I got a network show that I really enjoy is Castle came back this week.
Do you think it's a contrarian position to like Castle? It's obviously pretty popular,
well,
right?
We just spent like 10 minutes dissing network shows, and it's a network.
Oh, okay, that's true. Well, and actually, when I go, I'm going to support a network show, but go ahead.
Okay, but yeah, it's definitely one of my favorite shows, and a really strong season premiere. I still have the season finale from last spring on my TiVo, so I watched them back-to-back. And, nice. But no,
did the DVD come out? Have you reviewed that DVD?
The DVD is in stores right now. It's on its way, so it will be coming soon. But a short version is season 2 is great. Pick it up. But yeah, the season premiere is really solid. They kind of, took kind of a roundabout way of getting Castle and Beckett back together and back working together. But, you know, that was all right because, you know, that sort of, yeah, I think that, you know, the show needs that kind of distance and that tension between the two of them so that when the moments when they do connect is more powerful. But, you know, again, just razor sharp dialogue filled with all kinds of great witticisms. And the show doesn't make with the big action very often, but when it does, they really sell it. And there was a huge gunshot or a gunfight, gun shootout at the end of the episode that was really exciting. So, yeah, glad to have Castle back. Unfortunately, allegedly, I don't know if this is true, but allegedly it just got its butt kicked in the ratings by the new Hawaii 5.0, which really ticks me off.
Not surprising, because they really hyped the heck out of that. Yeah. And I heard the pilot was pretty good with, like, big budget attached to it. It's sitting on our DVR now as we speak.
It's kind of the same audience for those two shows, seems like. So putting mm-hmm. them on, having them be compete against each other, it would harm both shows. But, too bad. I was really hoping that, you know, the Castle would come back strong with the, you know, with the fans, but they turned the channel to watch Hawaii 5.0. But that's all right. It was a great episode.
Now, did you watch anything new at all, any of the new shows?
Well, yes, but one that's kind of, I think, off of a lot of people's radars, but one that really knocked my socks off. Over on Cartoon Network, they premiered the new series from, I hope I'm saying this right, Jendy Tartakovsky. Creator of Samurai Jack and the Good Clone Wars cartoon.
And yeah. Would you say the what cartoon?
The Good Clone Wars cartoon.
Yes.
And that guy's just a great animator. He's got tons of style. And his new show debuted last week on Cartoon Network, Symbionic Titan. And it rocks. It's just an awesome cartoon. I can't recommend it enough. And you've got the three space aliens come down to Earth, and they're in disguise as humans because their world has been overthrown, and the evil
aliens.
Are
they the event?
It could be.
They might be the event.
I don't know. It could be, because you know they're able to like form their consciousness. The three of them share this consciousness, and when they form their consciousness together, they can form this symbionic titan, which is this kind of. It's kind of like a giant piloted robot, but it's got this sort of ethereal sense to it. So it's kind of this, we're talking like, you know, it's either aliens or angels. Well, this is kind of an angelic alien, but it also kicks tons of butt. So,
all right.
So it's really great humor, huge action, and of course it's you know, Jendy Tartakovsky, so it's tons of style. Really enjoyed it. Looking forward to more episodes.
Let's see, I haven't caught anything new, actually. There was one I was sort of interested in. It was the Running Wild with Will Arnett and Kerry Russell and Mitch Hurwitz. And that again, is languishing on our DVR. But, man, the word of mouth has just been awful from it. So, which would just be really surprising. I mean, if you know, got to call into question that this is an awful sitcom. You know, has Hurwitz lost his magic, or was he never really the guy that was made Arrested Development so awesome?
Is he like playing it safe in the hopes that he can last for, you know, more than?
I know, it's who knows, but I mean, I'll owe it to him just to check it out. But I'm not really looking forward to it because, like I said, the word of mouth has just been brutal. This will be a segue into what we're reviewing anyway. But as far as network shows that I will defend, and seeing that the event obviously is scrambling for that lost audience, you know, as Flash Forward was and so forth. Just another shout out to Fringe, which I'm reviewing season 2 right now. And it just is fantastic. I mean, just like if you're looking for that kind of mythology heavy sci-fi, you know, type of show, I mean, this really delivers. And the second season is even better than the first. The first was sort of monster of the week, laying the bedrock for like the show's mythology. Season 2 really gets into it. And, I mean, it answers its questions, too. Yep. And they're like great, satisfying answers, you know? You know,
that's like a J.J. Abrams show, right?
Yeah, J.J. Abrams show, yep. And like the guys, and it's weird, it's like J.J. Abrams is involved, and like the guys that did Transformers, I mean, I know that's not like a ringing endorsement, but for some reason they brought their A game, and this they must have just a good stable of writers, and like John Noble, who's a doctor, is fantastic. Even Joshua Jackson, man, he's great in this. So it's just
I was thinking about Fringe and kind of why I drifted away from the show, even though I really dig sci-fi stuff, and it was what's her name, Olivia, is that her name?
Yeah, so Olivia Dunham, and I would be the first to admit that she's kind of a stiff.
Yeah,
she's a stiff.
She was doing the poor me routine every week, and
so like what I noticed in the
personality.
Yeah, in the first season, she was a stiff and kind of one dimensional. You hear that from everyone. So in the first season, It's very Monster of the Week. She takes a very front and center role of that. And you can tell that the writers kind of knew, because in the second season, everything changes dramatically. So, like, you know, Peter and Walter Bishop, who are the father-son combo, they're brought to the forefront. So it's essentially, and her character is kind of downgraded a little bit.
Really?
So they it's kind of like a equal opportunity. I don't know. It's not, you know, all three of them are in the same amount of time together. They're like this team now, you know, which benefited the show a lot. In fact, on the Blu-ray art, you can see the, like, Joshua Jackson is actually kind of pulled forward as, like, the star of the show, you know? So I think they kind of figured that she was kind of a stiff. They give her a little more to do, and they're developing some chemistry between her and Peter Bishop's character, so that's helped, though she's still not completely unstiffable. But beyond that, Mac, again, I would just, you know, or anyone, just really tune into it. If you like a show that gives you a lot of questions and interesting mystery, but then delivers on it, you know, Fringe does. I mean, we just watched an episode that, I mean, answered every, like, so, you know, answered some of the biggest outstanding questions, and it wasn't lame. It was really good, and it made sense. So again, I haven't finished the season, but really pushing for that. So definitely check it out. And then finally, just some sad news. A show that I liked, Spartacus, the star, Andy Whitfield, is, I believe, permanently off the show to continue grappling with his illness. So that's unfortunate.
That's too sad.
Yeah, so... awful for him.
So
who knows?
What's the future of the show? Do they say?
I haven't heard anything. I mean, they got a prequel that's in the can. You know, that's all. You know, that prequel's coming. So I have no idea what they're going to do. I haven't heard anything. So, he was a promising guy. I mean, he definitely was. A promising, interesting actor. So you certainly hope he pulls through it okay. In that, you know, if he is able to recover well enough, he could continue. Because I thought it was, very cool. So we'll see. But that's unfortunate on a bunch of levels.
What the show is?
What's that?
Everyone who talks about that show talks about how great it is.
It is. It really is. I mean, if you get past some of the crazy over the topness, it's just a butt kicking, absorbing season of period gladiator face combat. So, so that's kind of the segue into what we're reviewing this week. So, Mike, what do you got?
Just a brief mention for the reviewing Grapes of Wrath on DVD. And it's pretty
good. Is that an English assignment you have due tomorrow or something?
Yeah, it felt like it. But it's the exact same DVD that came out in, like, 2004. Like, nothing new. I checked there's a review previous on our site who... The writer escapes me presently, but it's I checked it out, and I'm like, this is the exact same disc. Everything's the same. The only thing that's different is I believe this came with a cardboard thing in the front of it that says free bookmark. and it's like but the kicker is it's a piece of cardboard the size of a DVD case, and then there's like this colored strip on the right side, and it says detach here, detach your bookmark here, but there's no perforation. There's nothing. So I don't know if it's just a screw up or what, or you have to get out scissors, but I'm like, this is not worth a re-release for a bookmark. I guess it's considered one of the best movies of all time.
Well, that may be, but though, may be one of the lamest extra features.
that in and of itself is not worth a double dip. So there you go. Worse yet, it's like a flipper. I mean, the movie is on one side, but there's like special features on the other side of the disc.
Oh man, what?
You gotta flip the disc to get to like
enough.
Yeah, I always get my thumbprint and fingerprints all over those. Yeah.
I always look at them and I get confused with
you put in the wrong
description
side
around the thing, because it's like the front side is this, the back side is this, and I'm like, well, what side am I looking at? That is, it should say the side you're looking at. I don't even know. It's to this day, it's mind boggling. Any of those like movies that are widescreen and full screen on each side, I end up having to like flip them all the time, even when I think I got it. So I'm an idiot. But there you go.
Nice. Sounds like a lot of fun. How about you, Mac?
Yeah, I just finished a marathon viewing session. I got this box set here that's the Drive-In Cult Classics.
I did see that lurking there for a while. Yeah. Was that like 80 movies or something?
32 movie collection. from all these sort of trashy B-movies from the 70s and 80s. And one or two from the 50s. But honestly, though, you know why I volunteered to do a 32 movie, drive-in set?
Because
one of the 32 movies is one of my favorite, so bad it's good films, which has never really had the cult following that you see for something like a Plan 9 from Outer Space or a Robot Monster 3D. And that's They Saved Hitler's Brain.
Yes.
The classic.
See, that sounds like a steep price to pay, though, Mac. You gotta deal with 31 other movies for that one.
Yeah, but, come on. They Saved Hitler's Brain. It's Hitler's brain in a jar.
That's not
looking. He just sits there and he looks ticked off as all of his henchmen get, killed and beaten up, and he can't do anything because he's just a head in a jar. And just the look of frustration on his face is the funniest thing in the world. So, yeah, if you love bad movies, it's one of the all-time great bad movies. But for some reason, no one ever talks about it when they talk about the all-time great bad movies. But I say it's a legend in bad moviedom.
Very good. Wow. So, yeah. Anything else worthy of note in that set?
Let's see.
Guess not.
Well, we had Land of the Minotaur with Donald Pleasance and Peter Cushing. That one was almost like a real movie. So we had The Creeping Terror was featured on Mystery Science Theater 3000. I suggest you watch that.
I was wondering. Yeah, I was going to ask you how many of these were Mystery Science episodes.
I thought that was the only one, but someone else pointed out that the movie Bloodlust was also on Mystery Science Theater. I don't remember that one. And some really this horribly awful sleazy movies about there's this movie about the married man who's going through the midlife crisis and he gets it on with the babysitter, right?
Okay.
And then there's another disc on the set.
We've all been there, but continue.
And then there's another disc on the set that's it's made like a few years later, but it's pretty much the exact same plot. And I was looking at the actor playing the midlife crisis guy and going, where have I seen that guy before? And I realized it's the same actor from the first babysitter movie, except he's older now. And he's playing like the same part in both of these movies. So that was really uncomfortable and icky and disgusting.
Oh, man. Nice. All right. Well, I'll look forward to your review coming up pretty soon. 32. That's a present. I think I saw like a 50 movie. There's like a 50 movie pack in that list.
Yeah, that's right. You're up to bat.
No, God, please no. All right. For me, let's see, I obviously talked at length about Fringe. I don't know, a few other things here and there. I just turned in my review for Queen Latifah's Just Right. See, her last name is Right.
Oh.
It's a romantic movie.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she falls in love with her character. No, not Latifah Wright.
Oh.
Her character's last name is Right.
I gotcha.
And her character falls in love with a basketball player. I don't know. A lot of boring stuff happens. So.
Is she sassy?
She toned down the sass, which I liked. When she kind of toned it down, leveled off, so she was a lot more likable, in this movie for sure. The guy she was paired with, Common, that's who she was with, he's kind of a stiff, but.
Wow. Does she, halfway through the movie, have to stop to host the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards?
I think that's a deleted scene.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So that's all I'm going to say about that. So let's just move this party on. Mac, take us away.
Sure. Why don't we take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray? We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming releases tab, and we're going to go to the cover art gallery for September 28th. Let's talk about what's on here that we find interesting and amusing.
Now, I'm sure everyone's been waiting for this, but the Tony Danza biography is finally on DVD again. That's just the Bob Saget. Just kind of an odd selection of biographies here, huh? I mean, you got Bill Cosby, which you can totally see, and a pretty dated picture.
Yes.
I would say none of these pictures are very flattering.
That's true. And then next to Beverly Hills 90210, and the kid who committed suicide is in that cast picture of Beverly Hills 90210. And the show, of course. I mean, Bono, you can see, I guess, but Does anyone really care about Sarah Jessica Parker's biography? So, I don't want to judge. Okay. What else? So
Iron Man 2 is coming out.
No, that's right. Iron Man 2.
I still haven't seen
get
that
him
movie.
To speak. Yeah, me neither. I haven't gotten around to it.
It got kind of a lukewarm reception, but I really...
Yeah, that's what I had heard. I don't know. People told me there wasn't a lot of action in it.
No, I really enjoyed it. I got a kick out of it.
There's She-Ra.
Man, I love these History Channel, these random History Channel DVDs. Mind Control, speaking of Fringe. and then motorcycles with some tool on
money.
His dirt bike. Money.
There's another one. There was History Channel Invisible Cloaks. Featuring some Gulf War looking soldier partially invisible with the clouds behind him.
So Mac, what about I think we've talked about this. You watched the Marvel animated movies versus the DC, is that correct?
I haven't seen all of them. I've seen most. Yeah.
Alright, but I mean DC's been really pumping out their stuff. Like there's a Superman Batman Apocalypse.
Right. I'm not sure what that one's based on.
Is that Apocalypse from like Marvel Apocalypse? Was that like the Marvel Comics Apocalypse?
No, I would guess that, you know, the bad guy.
That dark side in the corner? Is that who that is?
His name of his planet, home planet is Apocalypse.
Gotcha.
Than how that's spelled. But.
You're the comic historian. Have they done crossovers at all? Marvel DC crossovers?
Yeah, there have been a few. Back in the 70s when I was a kid, there was a much hyped Superman Spider-Man crossover that, looking back on it today, wasn't all that great. Then they followed that up with a Batman Hulk, and there was X-Men and the Teen Titans, which was actually pretty good. And then the more recent years, they did Marvel versus DC, which then was combined into the Amalgam Universe, and that was a whole thing. And but my personal favorite though is the JLA Avengers, which was this huge epic.
And uh-huh.
That one was very well done, very well drawn, great story, tons of like little trivia and little nods for the fans. It's a great read if you can track that one down.
Interesting. All right. Thank you for that tip.
Oh, right next to Saddam Hussein in the nerve gas atrocity would be a double from Eagle Eagle Rock.
Double
album of Rush. There you go.
Is that our vote for most unfortunate juxtaposition? Nerve gas atrocity.
The title of the Saddam one sounds like it's something out of a Harry Potter book.
It does, yes. Sounds like a Hardy Boys mystery. You know, that sounds exciting. And then you scroll down a couple, and how would you like to strap in and watch this documentary? The Technology of Lewis and Clark. and look at the pictures of their technology. I mean, does that even qualify as technology? I don't know. Like a satchel?
I bet that compass goes inside that satchel. That's one
piece of technology. I bet it does. We got Red Hot Zorro right next to real Terminators. Oh, those things look scary. That's like half of a Johnny Five. You know?
How much you want to bet the real national treasure is the artifacts in the museum.
Yes. Something stale.
Right next to real Terminators. I bet that's the twist ending.
Oh, spoiler.
Or it's all of us. That's the national treasure.
Yeah, something like that.
How about Racing Dreams? What is this?
Yeah, I was looking at that.
The Rock Johnson, no less.
Really? I wonder why he's not all over the cover.
I don't know. Racing Dreams is the acclaimed documentary from Academy Award nominated director Marshall Curry. It's youth kart racing. Why is The Rock in this? I don't know. Or at least that's what the... That's what.
Why is The Rock in anything? That's kind of what
maybe
I
he's an air, maybe he's the narrator.
Or something here.
Big release that we got to point out to, of course, is King Kong on Blu-ray, which apparently contains the missing spider pit sequence.
No, it's the one that Peter Jackson and his buddies did the recreation of.
Oh, that's lame. All right, thanks, Mac. I was slightly excited. I've seen that already. So it sounds like it's kind of a Blu-ray version of the special edition they released a while ago.
That's what I heard, yeah. And I don't know anything about these, but there's a whole series of horror movies coming out under the Fangoria label. which...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if these are any good or not, but the good news is that Fangoria is still around. I thought they had...
Yeah, look at that.
...since gone the way of the great horror magazines of yore, but...
Yeah, take a look at Pig Hunt.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Big old, it's the only one that really looks appealing.
I don't know. Dark House looks interesting. The guy's head is rising up out of the house.
Yeah,
that must be one Dark House.
How about Frozen? Look at that.
Yeah, that's, I know. I've heard
that's
some
like
stuff about that.
That's like my biggest fear of going on one. I've never gone on one of those, but I'm like, as soon as I sit on one of those little...
That's when it'll stop.
Things, that's when I'm going to fall off.
Ski chair.
Like yeah. This dude is. Yeah.
I've been on them. There's a big metal bar that like holds you in, like the things at Disneyland.
What's this guy's excuse then?
They're like trapped in the car overnight, and so they have to jump for it. So I guess.
So this is like open water, only above.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, I think that's an accurate description. And then finally, babies. That's pretty. Yeah, babies. People like babies.
So. Yeah.
I guess that's... I was hoping that would be like a horror movie about evil babies, but no, it's just...
Now, well, I don't know if the world's ready for a horror movie about evil babies.
Oh, there was... what was it?
Just like the world isn't ready for the essential games of the Seattle Mariners. All right, gentlemen. Inadvertently sleazy sounding DVD release of the week. Mac.
Street Ballers.
That's good. That's good. Mike?
Knock on Wood.
Very good. Man, I need to have these in mind before we do this here. How about... I'll go with Winter Blast. Whatever that means. All right. Okay, let's move on to our ambush topics. And, you know, these work, so I'm not going to bother explaining it. So, Mac, why don't you kick us off?
Okay, first ambush topic is... from a movie or TV show, what is a job that you would never want?
Okay, I think I've gone to this well before, but it's one of my favorite scenes in Star Wars, A New Hope. You know, as we pull back and we get a wide shot of the Rebel base.
Right.
And the, which number, what, Yavin, right? The Rebel,
that's
is that
right.
What it
yeah,
is? Is
the,
it, okay.
The moon of Yavin.
The moon, yeah. I know they're always on moons. That's, they seem to have other bases on moons in that movie. But anyway, we pull back. We get a look at the Rebel base, and there perched up at the top of the Rebel base in a little watchtower is a Rebel soldier, and he is holding a spear. So I would hate to be Rebel Scout Spearman, because I don't know what you're supposed to do up there and what you're supposed to fend off with your spear. We're talking about a universe that has giant killer starships, so I just do not see what the spear is going to do. So, yeah, so Spearman up there, just, I mean, that just must be, I guess that's like, I mean, is that a disciplinary position? You know, if you're a rebel, like if you're hate, you're caught hazing someone, you know?
I don't know. I mean, you get some, you know, fresh air, you get to be outside.
Yeah, but you're essentially a dead man walking if any kind of combat breaks out whatsoever, you know? I mean, you will be the first to go. You have one throw with that spear, and it'll bounce harmlessly off an ATST.
What if it's a super laser spear that shoots the laser?
That was, I know what super laser spears are, my friend. That was no super laser spear. That was a run-of-the-mill, that was a pike. That's what it was. Metal pike. Poor spear man. Sacrificial lamb. I think they were thinking they would just put him up there so when he got just completely liquefied by an incoming TIE bomber, maybe his guts and sinew would clog up the exhaust ports or something. That would be it. That's the reason I could think.
I'm going to go with any of the random college interns that work alongside this new scientist named David Banner, who just rolled into town. Like every other, you know, every right. episode, or so, you know, every once in a while, David Banner gets put up in some nice new laboratory to work on some sort of new, some new project. And of course, you know, in the meantime, he's going to try and cure himself. But he's always got at least one, sometimes a couple interns that are working with him that are trying to work, you know, work for him, obey his every order. And of course, those interns are always out of a job the second this dude gets angry and destroys all the equipment And, you know, they never get their credits. I assume that nobody's able to sign off on, like, the work that they've done because the guy turned into a crazy Hulk and ran away. And, you know, at the end of the episode, he walks into the distance and you're left there to pick up the mess and explain to the team
that's right.
what happened.
I mean, do you think they lose their scholarship?
Oh, you know? Yeah. Or at least, at the very least, they have to pay for another internship, you know, like it's another... That's more credits. That's another semester that they're going to be delayed their graduation because David Banner can't keep his crap together.
I'd just like to hear them explaining this to the dean. No, it was a big green guy. He came out of nowhere.
That's right.
You see,
they get tested for urine tests, you know.
You see, the scientist was so clumsy, and he backed up into something that electrocuted him. And then he turned into this green man and destroyed everything, and nobody touched him the whole time.
And his pants stayed on him, shockingly. Yeah.
Thank God his pants stayed on him.
All right, Mac, what are you thinking?
Well, this is an obvious one, of course, but the officers in the red shirts from Star Trek.
Yes, of course.
You know, it's well known among the fans of what's going to happen to the guys in the red shirt who beamed onto the planet with the crew, but I wonder, do they know?
I mean, word must spread amongst, like, in the barracks.
See, that's just right? What I was thinking, yeah. It's like, you know, when the word comes down, okay, we need someone to join the captain on this away mission. You know, Ensign so-and-so, you're up. And you're like, oh, crap. my number's
right,
up.
Right, because nobody's like, does anybody's colored shirt really, are there any doubles? Or do they all have their own color?
I'm not quite sure where, I don't follow you. It's
like, does everybody have a different color shirt? Like, is the red guy always the red guy? Nobody else has a red shirt.
Right. On classic Star Trek, it was, you know, you had the green was the commander's, you know, the command color. And then the blue was, like, the science and medical color. And then the red was, like, just, you know, the grunts, you know, the ensigns and the lieutenants. And
I gotcha.
The lower-level guys, right?
Oh, I had no idea. There was...
What's the pink shirt? If you wear a pink shirt, how low on the totem pole are you?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember if I ever saw the pink shirt.
all right, Mike, how about you? What do you got?
All right, so my ambush topic would be they just announced right before we looked at it right before this podcast the complete box series of 24, which just comes in a big black box with a bunch of pictures on it.
Yeah.
And 24. So what would be a better box to house the complete 24 DVD set?
Ooh.
Okay, I got this one. Was it season 7 or 8? I don't know. The one where Jack was dying because he got sprayed with...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
He got sprayed with the canister of the evil nerve gas.
That is 7.
Yeah, so I'm thinking one of those big metal beat-up-looking canisters that the nerve gas was in. Definitely put the DVDs in one of those things and replicate that. Yeah.
Nice. A nerve gas. Yeah, and like it. I mean, they had this on the season 1 disc where there was like a countdown clock, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, but now it just hits zeros until the battery runs out. So it was kind of anticlimactic, to tell you the truth.
It needs to make the noise that it does at the end of every episode.
That'd be nice. That'd be sweet. 24. That should be probably, I mean, I guess it's got to be in a small replica of the Hyundai Genesis, right? they were so intent on showing us the Hyundai over and over again. I think that's what you got to do with it.
So. See, I was thinking it could be in a, I had a number of answers because I thought that that you would take mine, but you know, okay. First I was thinking that chemical interrogation kit that he always calls in that special guy to do. That's like that briefcase with all the needles.
That's true. That's
that
good.
That could be that. Then I thought, it could be the nuclear football suitcase. That could be that. Then I thought maybe it should be in a cougar, like a giant stuffed cougar from the second.
That's good.
No, you open it up and the cougar's inside and it jumps out at you.
Then I think the final, what I finally rested on should be it comes in a giant document signed by all the cabinet members to overthrow the president.
I mean, how about just the jack sack, right?
Just a jack sack.
It just comes in a jack sack.
Just like the Northern Exposure complete series right. comes in like a satchel. That's what this satchel.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that thing was just as much a part of 24 Mythology as anything, right?
Right. He had everything. I mean,
yeah, everything. So, yeah, it shows up, and you can actually put all that stuff. You can put the interrogation kit in there. You can put the frayed house lamp wire in there. Okay, here you go. We have a little challenge for you today, okay? The quiz for you guys. It's my ambush topic.
Okay.
Two movies. One is Gymkata. The other is Delgo. Remember that movie, Delgo?
Barely. Okay.
So, Gymkata and Delgo. You need to decide. I'm going to read you characters' names. Okay.
Oh, okay. So
just tell me which movie they're part of without cheating.
Have you seen Delgo?
I have. I had a review for the site.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yes, so I have seen Delgo. I really wanted to do like Gymkata character names and cities in Portugal, but it's hard. in case you're interested, I'll tell you what's. Here's a mini quiz. What do you think? What was the final score I gave to Delgo? What do you think?
15.
15. Mac?
35.
60.
Okay.
Wow.
See, you were more generous than we were, but of course you watched it.
That's true. That's true. And my verdict was Del Guilty. So there you go. Okay, here we go. So Delgo or Gymkata. First character, Gomez. Mac, that'll be your question.
Hmm. It's such a down to earth sounding name, so I'm gonna go against the grain and say it takes place in that's a name from the fantasy world of Delgo.
I'm sorry, it is a name from the hard, gritty reality of Gymkata. Gomez is one of the competitors in the Gymkata game, where he's one of the like 50-year-old dad-looking guys who runs
so-called around greatest athletes arrows. In the world. That are these?
Yes, so-called greatest athletes. Pride
the
from
dudes
their
with mustaches and windsuits.
Absolutely. That's right. They were the cast-offs from The Price is Right. Here we go, Mike. Tamerlane, is he from Gymkata or the magical world of Delgo?
I'm going to go with Delgo.
Oh, tricky. That's also from Gymkata, played by some guy named Slobodan Dimitrijevic, who I believe was arrested for war crimes. I don't know what he
was. Was he one of the crazies in the castle?
It's possible. I love IMDb sometimes. I mean, look on the Gymkata full cast and crew, and there's one guy who's got a thumbnail picture. You know, the rest are like the blank, you know, the blank face. I mean, the guy who played Gomez is the only guy who's got everyone else is blank. I love it here. So Slobodan Dimitrijevic played Tamerlane. And in parentheses, he was as S period Dimitrijevic.
Oh, thank God.
He must have been one of the craziest. All right. You guys are 0 for 1. Unimpressive so far. Mac, here we go. King Zahn. Delgo or Gymkata?
Huh, that's a tricky one. Now, I know Gymkata had the prince character. And I think the girl was technically a princess, if I'm remembering the story correctly.
Yes.
So, but was there a king as well? No, I'm going to go with Delgo.
You are correct. You trusted your... King Zahn, voiced by Louis Gossett Jr.
Oh, really?
Delgo, yes. I believe you were thinking of the Khan.
Oh.
He was a little guy with a big mustache and a bushy hat.
Khan.
And he was the princess... All right, so far you're winning 1-0. All right, Mike, this is your chance to get into it, okay? Get back into it. Brock Schmidt.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, Brock Schmidt. There's Brock Schmidt and Gymkata or Delgo. What's that?
I say Gymkata.
Brock Schmidt was in Gymkata, correct, yes. Played by Evil Kristoff. In Gymkata, he appeared as I period Kristoff, though.
Oh, of course. I didn't recognize him at first.
And I will give you a bonus point. If you guess how many other movies Evil Kristoff was in.
Two.
24.
Oh my.
24 movies, including The Melody Haunts My Memory, and Apache Gold, and Tajna Staragtavana, and Saved by the Bell. Actually, no. Unfortunately, that's not true. All right, 1-1. Okay, Mac, this will be the final round. Okay. Tiebreaker. Okay? Connie.
Connie.
C-O-N-N-I-E. Connie.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I'm thinking about Gymkhana again as kind of light on the female characters, the main one being the princess chick. So I'm going to go with the Delgado on this one.
Delgado. you are incorrect. Oh. I'm sorry. Connie appeared in Gymkhana. All
what
right.
character was that?
Connie was... I don't know. I'm played by someone named Sharon Lee.
Oh, you think that was the chick from the very beginning of the movie who tries to go after the gymnast and like the CIA guy stops her? He's like,
mm. Yeah, it must be. Yeah, it must
She's
be.
She's the only other woman in the movie.
I mean, the actress actually appeared in one episode of The A-Team.
Oh, it's
interesting,
be,
huh? Okay. All right, here you go. For the steal, okay? Bogardus.
That sounds like the Latin term for a dude who bogarts.
Didn't Bill and Ted say that all the time?
That's right. That's right. Bogardus. I'm going to go with Delgo.
You are correct. Oh. Bogardus was in Delgo, voiced by Val Kilmer.
Oh, wow.
So congratulations. You win the Gymkhana Delgo cast.
Okay, Dave, now it's your turn.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you got?
All right, so I'm going to give you a character name here.
Okay.
And you have to tell me if it's either from Avatar
okay.
or from Tomorrow Never Dies.
Oh, nice. All right.
Good. I also have one ready.
Oh, very good.
Nice.
Oh, exciting.
All right. The character is...
You guys have turned the tables.
Character is Selfridge.
I'm going to go with Tomorrow Never Dies.
That is incorrect.
What?
Selfridge was the character played by Giovanni Ribisi in Avatar.
I should have known that. He was like the main bad guy, man. I really pushed that movie out of my memory.
All right. I'm going to name a character.
Yeah.
Tell me if it's from The Road Warrior or okay. or Beyond Thunderdome.
Wow, all right. Two posts. All right, good.
Yeah, so it's either from Mad Max 2 or Mad Max 3.
Right.
And I'm going to go with Big Rebecca.
No matter what you answer, you've already won with that.
I know, I feel like I've won already. Thunderdome?
No, Road Warrior.
No, Big Rebecca was in Road Warrior?
Yes.
Ah.
Unless she's also in the other one, but I'm not seeing it on the list here. So
I'm trying to recall a character who would match the description of Big Rebecca. Yeah, striking out.
She was played by Moira Claw, C-L-A-U-X,
Ooh.
Or Claw.
Wow,
maybe.
Very cool.
I also could have picked the Humongous or the Feral Kid.
absolutely.
Beyond Thunderdome.
Oh, Humongous. Yeah, I definitely know Humongous.
Like Humongous was in Road Warrior.
What?
Master Blaster.
Yeah, yeah. Road
Humongous. Master and Blaster are in...
Yeah, he was dressed up in the S&M attire,
right.
Remember?
Oh, see, I thought that was Humongous. Oh.
That was Humongous.
Man, I'm not doing good. Yeah, yeah. My movie trivia is just off.
Apparently not. All right.
What about Painkiller? There's your last one.
Painkiller. All right. So you look up... Okay, Mac, this is for you. You look up... Let's see. I'll show you another one. We can do another one real quick here. So I'm looking at Pig Killer. And what's a movie that...
No, that's the character's name.
Yeah.
That's Pig Killer. What was the movie that we just saw, that Fangoria movie?
Yeah.
Pig... What's that movie?
Yeah, I clicked off of it.
Okay.
This podcast is spiraling out of control.
It is totally spiraling out of control. Yeah, we have lost control of it. All right, well, I guess we should just kind of call it a podcast then, perhaps. So with that odd ending, I guess we'll just wrap it up. So thanks to Mike and Mac for kicking it for about an hour or so. I think we killed some time there, and especially Mike. I know you had I know you're a little under the weather, so good for you for powering.
I was able to. Glad I was able.
Nice. So Friday Filibuster at DVDverdict.com is our email. Facebook.com/FridayFilibuster is our Facebook page. Mac, what do you have to say?
In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power, Green Lantern's light.